Welcome to CGNet Nonprofit Tech Talk. Today our guest is Dan Callahan, Vice President of Product Management for CGNet, and we're going to discuss implementing Microsoft Office 365 to give you some idea about what's involved in actually getting started with Office 365. Dan, what do you need to run Office 365?
Well, I guess the basic thing is you need a browser. And so you need whatever device you have that can run a browser. And that would be anything from a desktop computer, laptop computer, tablet, Android tablet, iOS tablet, and in some cases just a smartphone is fine.
Well, that sounds pretty simple. So what varieties of Office can you run with Office 365?
Well, so going back to what Office 365 includes, the basic components of that are Exchange Online, which is your email, SharePoint Online, which is, document collaboration, Link Online, which is for instant messaging and presence, and in some cases voice services. And the last thing is the Office 2010 or now Office 2013 application suite. And so depending on which service we're talking about, you might need one or another kind of device to run that. If you're going to run Office 2013, then you need a Windows machine, laptop or desktop. Office 365 also includes subscription support for Office 2011, or is it 2012, for the Mac. So in that case, you'd need a Macintosh computer. And then all of the other things can be run just in a browser. In certain cases, you also have the option of downloading and running a client for the service. So with regards to Exchange, you can run the Outlook client as well as access your Exchange mail through the browser. And same thing for Link. There's a Link client that runs on a variety of devices, which you can use to access Link. And you can also access Link through a web page.
So why would you decide which one you wanted to use? What are the pros and cons of the different systems?
I think it's really a matter of, first of all, personal preference. Some people, are comfortable using the Outlook client and would want to continue doing that. And the other thing that kind of comes into play is again the device type. So for instance, if you have an iPad and you wanted to access Office 365 or through the iPad, then you're not going to be running an Outlook client there, in which case you'd be using Safari or another web browser to access your mail and so on.
So compared to current Office applications, are there limits on Office 365 that you have to think about compared to what you'd get if you bought the software in a box?
Well, there are some differences between the web versions of Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Project, and Visio compared to the functionality that you get in those programs if you're installing the software on your desktop or your laptop. But they're fairly complete, in terms of what you can do on the web. A Word web app, for instance, has all of the document creation and editing capabilities that you get in Word running on your desktop. The one set of capabilities that's missing on the web app side is the reviewing capabilities. So you can't, mark a document with comments, and you can't, put in change bars for items that you might change. So there are a few things like that. But Microsoft is doing more and more to really make the web app versions of its, Word, Excel, PowerPoint programs to be really on a par with what you can do from an installed software point of view.
Okay, so you basically decided you've got the devices you want to use. You've got a desktop and a laptop and a smartphone and who knows what else. And how do you plan a deployment, particularly if you're an IT manager? How do you plan a deployment for an organization?
Well, I guess the short answer is very carefully.
Okay.
as with any kind of IT implementation, you want to go through and, you know, really understand from a baseline point of view where you're starting from. For instance, we find that a lot of organizations, when we get to the point of migrating mailboxes, often don't have an accurate count of, you know, who their current user mailboxes are. They might often have user mailboxes that are, you know, for people that have left the organization. And there's also not an accurate census of resource mailboxes or shared mailboxes. So the first part of, you know, planning a deployment is to really understand kind of where you're starting from, and to do as much as possible whatever kind of cleanup you want to do with your environment before you start doing the migration. Once you have that in place, you can basically break the migration down into two pieces. One is the migration of the user mailboxes for email, and then the second thing is the setup of the devices to be able to use the Office 365 services.
Right. Now, for setting up the mailboxes, I guess it depends what version of Exchange you're running.
Well, it's not so much what Exchange version you're running on site. It's, you know, you're going to be using the version of Exchange that's powering the Exchange Online. And for many, if not most organizations, that's going to be Exchange on 2013. Microsoft is changing over all of their Office 365 backend from a 2010 basis to a 2013 basis. And since about, I think it was February of this year, anybody who signed up new for Office 365 was put onto the 2013 backend right away.
Okay, but I'm assuming that you're probably going to have some mail that you're going to want to migrate from the current users' mailboxes to Office 365.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so how you migrate that mail, that's where you get into needing to know the specifics of what the characteristics of the source mailbox are. For instance, are you running Exchange 2003, Exchange 2010? Are you running some kind of IMAP mail service such as Gmail? You know, are you running Lotus Notes or what have you? And so depending on where you're starting from, there are different migration strategies and different tools that can be used to migrate mail from your current system over to Office 365.
So it depends on what you have.
Yes.
And then also, I guess there's a question about what kind of deployment you want. Let's assume you're migrating from 2010, which is as an example. You could still decide, depending on the size of your organization and your needs, whether you were going to do them all over a weekend or whether you're going to take your time or things like that.
Right. There's two main categories of migration. One is called a cutover migration, and this is where you're going to move everybody's mailbox, you know, typically over a weekend or something like that, with the idea that on Monday morning, or excuse me, on Friday afternoon, everybody goes home having checked mail on the current mail system. And when they arrive at the office on Monday morning, they're going to log into the new mail system and from there forward start working with their mail on the new system. So that's great in a lot of instances as far as a migration strategy. For larger organizations, you know, they can't really look at migrating, you know, hundreds or in some cases thousands of mailboxes all at once over a weekend. So they're typically going to do a staged migration or what's called a hybrid configuration or a coexistence strategy. And in this case, what happens is you keep the email system that you currently have running, and you migrate users in groups over onto the Office 365 email system, and you take certain steps to allow the on-premise email system to communicate with Office 365 so that users can still, you know, find each other's usernames and a global address list and things like that.
This is sounding fairly complicated. What is the best way to dig in to inform yourself about the situation so that you can decide how to do it?
Well, the best way to look into this, I think, is you can certainly go to Microsoft's TechNet website, and they have tons and tons of material that describe these different migration approaches, what you need to get ready for each kind of migration, you know, what steps are required to conduct the approach and so on. So that's a very good way to just sort of educate yourself on what you're doing. And of course, you can contact us here at CGNet since we've done a number of these migrations, and we can give you some advice as to what we would consider sort of best practices for that as well.
So that brings up sort of a question. Do you think this is the type of thing that, how can you judge whether you should do it yourself or whether you should call in some help from somebody like CGNet?
Well, I think it's a couple of things. One is, you know, how big of a migration are you talking about? You know, the bigger it is, the more likely you're going to want to get some help to conduct the migration, particularly if it's a cutover migration. The other thing is to really understand what level of Exchange and Active Directory knowledge do you have on staff. You know, do you have the people that understand Exchange and PowerShell and those kinds of things and understand Active Directory and how Exchange and Active Directory interact with one another? And if you do, then you might well have the resources and capabilities to conduct this migration yourself. If you're feeling like your team's skills in those areas is maybe, you know, not as up to speed as you would like, then that might be a good reason for contacting somebody like CGNet, you know, who can come in and provide this service on your behalf.
One of the things I've heard people talking about is the use of federation with these migrations and with Office 365. What is that?
So federation is a concept that involves connecting user identities from one organization or one domain to another. And so in the context of Office 365, the idea is that for an organization that has Active Directory installed, you know, which has the information on all their users and their username and password and so on, that you might want to set up your Office 365 service such that the user doesn't have to log into a separate portal or what have you, and particularly with a separate set of credentials in order to get at their mail and team sites and so on. And so in this case, what federation involves is basically setting things up so that when the user goes to connect to Office 365, Office 365 actually goes back to the Active Directory server and asks for the information on that user, verifies that they're a current, you know, active user, and then we'll log them in using the credentials that are already available through Active Directory. So it makes life easier for the user because they don't have to remember a different set of credentials for Office 365 compared to just logging onto their computer or their corporate network. And it has a benefit for the IT manager as well, because you can continue to use Active Directory to essentially be your first stop in managing users and managing what services they have access to.
Okay, so it sounds like that would be another thing you'd want to consider in when you were planning your deployment.
Yeah, and it's Active Directory in general is not for the faint of heart, so it's certainly something, and particularly with federation and directory synchronization, it's something where you want to make sure you understand what kind of skills are required and knowledge are required, and make sure you either have that on staff or you're engaging people who have those kinds of skills that can help you get that set up.
Okay. Do you have any final advice for somebody considering a Office 365 deployment?
I think the main thing is to take it in steps, to, you know, kind of go slow. If you're looking at doing a pilot before you, you know, commit to a complete deployment across your organization, then it really helps to find a group that to include in the pilot that is in some sense self-contained. And so, for instance, we've had customers who started out by, you know, putting everybody in one of their regional offices onto Office 365, you know, got that up and running, ran that for a bit, made sure they liked how the service is working and so on. And then, you know, started moving other offices over. So, you know, they're able to do it in kind of a stepwise manner. So I think that's a good approach for consideration in the deployment.
Well, Dan, it's been a pleasure to talk to you this afternoon. And perhaps we can get back at a later date and talk about some things related to Office 365, such as Link.
Absolutely. Be happy to do that.